Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, have you ever spent time in a roadhouse?
Yes, Jim, I have. And let me just say this. That was early Patrick, and this is middle Patrick.
Okay, Patrick, it's summertime during the pandemic, which means that I did not take a summer vacation this year, and I don't really have plans to. Do you?
No, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, I can't leave. I wasn't able to leave the state this year anyway. So that was one thing. But Virginia does have a lot of natural wonders. I mean, you can go hiking, you can go to the beach, you know, you can go a lot of places. Yeah. But no, we don't. No plans at all.
No, no summer vacations this year for us. We are just going to continue to rock the suburbs.
That's right.
Here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
But our guest today, he's a patron of the show. Mm-hmm. And so we like to have the patrons on, and they get to pick out the topic. And I think he's going to talk about a road trip, like adventure, that he's been on. So let's welcome to the show Jeff Niebuhr.
Niebuhr, that's right. Yes.
Hey,
hello,
Jeff.
How are you all?
Niebuhr. I had to pause for a moment. Yeah.
That's all right. It's a tough name.
Well, Jeff, I got to say first, thank you so much for being a patron. We really appreciate the support. It does make a difference. You know, for things like cassette tapes and shipping that we were talking about before we turned the mics on. But this, Jim, is kind of unlike anything we've ever talked about on our podcast. Am I right? Like, this is very, very unique.
It seems like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I cannot think
of the photos he was sending us.
I know it. This is really cool.
So before we get into the road trip, Jeff, just remind people what you do, where you live, that sort of thing.
Sure. I live outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in a town called Alpharetta. I work for Hewlett Packard, and I support the Department of Defense from a project management standpoint.
Cool.
Okay. And you're currently not in Georgia, as you told me before we started recording.
That's right. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, at my girlfriend's house, Diane. She and I guess I'll start, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Go for it. Tell us what you did.
I was in a band, right in college, and had kids, and so the band kind of went away, although it's always, as everybody probably listening knows, always bubbling, right, under the surface.
Yep.
So maybe 5 years ago, a buddy of mine and I recorded some extemporaneous jam sessions of just drums and guitar, or bass and guitar, which is really avant-garde and really out there, very cool stuff.
Cool.
It's and so we recorded it. Let's let the tape roll, and I cut it up into songs and put it on to Bandcamp.
Nice.
And named our group Audio Spam 2.0. And so that kind of gave me a little bit of a recording bug. How do I get to that? And so another good friend of mine, guitarist in my band in college, popped up, kind of was AWOL for a few years, and he's now alive and kicking outside of Hilton Head. And so I thought, and he and I wrote together, you know, 25 years ago. So I was like, I'm going to, when the COVID's over, I'm going to road trip down there and we're going to record some songs. So I started to assemble a mobile recording studio. And so essentially using a MacBook, I got an IO interface, some mic stands, some mics, cables. And then I got these cool flight cases that are like old, from the 50s, remote control, wooden flight cases. So I have maybe two or three of those.
Those things are so cool looking. Yeah.
And they kind of unpack, and there's little drawers, so there's little like mic clips and all this stuff. So I assembled it. And then I'd never really done true recording. So just using GarageBand, right? So if you have a Mac, you get GarageBand for free. It's multi-track. It's pretty,
yep.
It's pretty cool. I'm not a super musician. So We started with, I guess my daughter was the maiden voyage of the mobile recording studio. She wanted to record Rolling
nice.
In the Deep, but she wanted to slow down. She's a rising sophomore in college, and so I put it into another piece of
nice.
Software and just slowed it down. And then I put that as track one. That was kind of our click track. So she would sing to that. She sang it through four or five times. I went and played bass on it, played guitar on it. I had a little stomp box, so you get a little beep going.
Cool.
And it turned out cool, so I was excited about it. So that was kind of the first iteration of the mobile recording studio. So then, as fate would have it, my girlfriend and I were going to go to Europe this summer. We were going to go to England, and that all got put aside because of COVID. And so first we thought we wouldn't do anything. Yeah. And then we said, well, she has a good friend in Shreveport that she likes to see a couple times a year. She's on a ventilator, had been for 20 years, and so she can't travel.
Mm.
And we decided we would try to make the trek. But then we also thought, hey, let's do it around some of the cities that we love in the South and spread some tourist dollars to some of these places that that could use it. And then, so we mapped that out. Essentially started in Atlanta down to my parents' lake house in Alabama. We wanted to put our feet in the beach, so we went down to the Alabama coast.
Nice.
Her probably second city would be New Orleans. She's taught a few courses there for Furman University. She brought students there for 6-week courses a couple times, so she knows New Orleans like the back of her hand.
Sweet.
So we went to New Orleans, then we went up to Shreveport, and then we wanted to go to Muscle Shoals. Neither of us had been to Fame Studios and the rest of the scene there, and then of course that goes right through Clarksdale. So we hit a ground zero kind of place. Morgan Freeman has a club there, and then there's cool little shacks we rented, and then the plot thickens, and then we said, let's bring the recording studio. Diane can sing. I don't really sing. And so we decided to do a song at each location. That was kind of the genesis of it all.
Super
so
badass.
This is what's really cool. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
It's cool.
This is what's really cool about it. So you took along the mobile recording studio.
That's right.
And then what? So then how did you approach this? When you got to each town, you wanted to do a song that somehow related
that's right.
How did that work?
So okay. We started at a lake called Lake Martin in Alabama. Mm-hmm. Hank Williams Sr. wrote a song there like in 51 called Kalijah, which is a town. It's an Indian town, you know, on the lake. He stayed there one weekend and wrote this song. And so we're like, we're going to do Kalijah.
Nice.
So we set up on my parents' dock, which is hysterical because there's like waves crashing and dogs barking and the neighbors shooting off fireworks. But we recorded through it. And then we went to, there's an actual restaurant called Kalijah.
Hmm.
And we went there in the parking lot and we just, boom, set up in the parking lot. Same kind of thing, boats going by, and we recorded. We got headphones on and just, you know, laid down a vocal track.
Sweet.
So New Orleans,
I will say this, Jeff, really quick on that point. Fans of Wes Anderson will know that Kalijah is featured several times in the movie Moonrise Kingdom. If you guys have seen that movie, listen for Kalijah. It's featured a couple times. It's an incredible song.
There you go.
One of Hank Williams' greatest story songs, you know, about a wooden Indian who falls in love.
That's
like, it's great.
Falls in love with another wooden Indian across the way. And
yeah, American classic.
The gumption to talk to her.
It's such a great song.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it's as good as Woody Guthrie or Robert Frost or any American art, you know, and he does it in 2 minutes and 40 seconds or whatever.
That's right. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Quick. It's great. So then we went south to the beach, and I had never been to, I don't know if you guys know of this bar. It's on the border at the beach between Florida and Alabama, and the state line goes right through it, called the Florabama.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a rowdy, big, sprawling bar, and we chose Give Me Three Steps by Skinner. You know, Skinner's from Florida.
Yeah.
Sing about Alabama, so that ties that together. We were kind of going for a Muscle Shoals sound in general, you know. They didn't record that song there, but certainly they have that tie-in too. Plus, it's a song about a bar.
And, yeah.
You know, what other bar? So we went there, and they were open. I feel like we were the only patrons with masks on, but we had masks on. We got a drink, very sparse. And then we went. That's the first time of the full setup of the studio in the parking lot, about 150 degrees. I'm sweating.
Wow.
I think I said that video. You guys can check that out.
Yep. I
saw it. We set up, played that through, ran through a couple times. Great.
Now, at this point, Jeff, I got to ask you, did anyone come up to you and say, like, what the hell are you doing? Or anything like that?
You know what? Nobody, the whole time, nobody cared.
Really?
Nobody cared.
Wow.
Nobody said anything. Nobody stopped. I mean, I will say, I got it down to where I could go from parking the car to, like, hitting record in about 6 minutes.
Wow.
So that's level check. That's mics out, guitar mic out. Cables, we could run it off the cigarette lighter of the car. So, I mean, it was pretty good.
That's amazing. It really is. And I don't know, I guess in these times, right, Jim, nobody's really surprised by anything. You know, walk down the street, you're like, yeah, there's a guy.
Four songs. They must have had a permit or something.
Yeah, right. They must know what they're doing.
So what do you think this... I want to ask this. How do you think this impacted your enjoyment of the trip?
Greatly. I loved it. I think there's, when you travel, some people into art, architecture, history, nature. I experience culture through food and through music.
Yep.
And so I know I went to India a couple times on business, and I came home, and for Christmas, I made all Indian food.
Hmm.
And it's like an immersive kind of thing of, you know, of course, I have lots of Indian friends. I'm sure my Indian food was not super authentic or awesome even. But for me, it was. And I think covering a song, learning the chords, learning the changes, what's the break, I think that kind of immerses you in that song. And then we pick these songs to be locale specific. I don't know if Lynyrd Skynyrd ever went to the floor of Bama, but I'm sure they went to plenty of bars that were similar. And so I think it's just a similar way to kind of treat that song and that locale. And then you experiencing singing and playing that song. I think it's great. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Now, so you said something earlier about how... you're not necessarily, you don't consider yourself a great musician, but was it difficult to learn these songs at all, or was it satisfying?
There's so many tools now, like you have guitar tabs, and you know, I'm pretty okay on the bass. I can play an acoustic guitar. I will say one thing we noticed, and eventually we get all the way, we get to Tupelo, we do That's All Right Mama. So even a song as simple as That's All Right Mama, which has got to be only like 2 minutes and 10 seconds, three chords, and that's it. Man, the rhythm, those guys were players, right? It's not just
totally
straight, perfect rhythm. Sometimes the song comes in on a 3.5, it's the first words. And so, lining that up, it took a little bit of time, but... it was fun. We had...
yeah.
I mean, there's little things that, you know, you hear... I heard you guys even talking one time maybe about the Replacements. And, you know, you think the Replacements is a bar brawl band and not super sophisticated until you go try to play it. And it's like, oh, wait. Hold on. What was that? Why is that chord there? Or how come it's
right?
Like 1/8 of the note? And so...
mm-hmm.
Pieces of songs that make them interesting, I think, even something as simple as That's All Right Mama.
Oh, totally agree. In fact, that's a good example. That's a band that's sort of deceptively simple, meaning that the stuff is more complex than you realize,
totally.
Right? But it sounds so simple when it comes out of your speakers, right?
And I think those who listen to our podcast every day remember Isaiah from Radke saying something very similar. Do you remember that, Jim? He's like, hey, we want to write a song with a rock feel, but when people go to look at it, they're like, wait a minute, that's not as simple as I thought it would be. And it's a universal sentiment.
It drives me crazy because I just started playing guitar again within the last couple of months, and I'll hear a song from somewhere and I'll think, like, I bet I could play that, and then I look up the chords and I'm like, nope, I can't play that.
How come there's numbers in those letters?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what is that? What is SUS? I don't know. Yeah, that's no.
What does that number symbol mean? Jeff, I got to ask you, man, I'm looking at these pictures right now and this shack in Clarksville, Mississippi. Tell us about, like, what is this? It looks like, you know, a rundown shack from the 30s or something out of Oh Brother or something like that. Like,
it's very much. Yeah, we watched Oh Brother before we went out there.
Nice. What's the story and what song did you guys play there?
So I read about it in a magazine and it's these two dudes that, I guess were having people come to their house for a blues festival in Clarksdale. And it just got kind of out of hand. We had people sleeping on the floor and they're like, dude, let's go buy some shacks from around town, around the county. We'll cart them here, put them on a real foundation, give them water. And that they just kept doing that. And there's like 30 of them.
Wow. That is so cool.
That's what we recorded, probably 10 songs in the shack.
Really?
It was inside. So it was at night, so we could, you know, relax and take our time. And so it was great. So we recorded much of the songs there. It was perfect. It's called the Shack Up Inn. That's an unpaid advertising shout out. It was great. I would go back to that every time.
I mean, it looks amazing. And, you know, just like what you think about. It's so cool. I also love the fact that they're saving those buildings, you know, instead of throwing something else away, you know, instead of grinding up that wood and throwing it, you know, in the trash or, you know, in another dumpster. It's cool that they preserve those structures and all that. Yeah.
So how long was your trip total?
So about a week. So we left on Sunday night and then we came back following Sunday. So a week.
And how many songs did you end up doing?
Golly, I think maybe 13 or so. I mean, some of them are just little snippets. I sent you a link. I mixed down just a few rough examples, but it's good.
Do you have any plans for these recordings, or what do you want to do with it? Or
that's what I was going to say.
I hope can hear it. Yeah.
So I told my parents it'll be their Christmas present. So
nice. Well, don't forget your podcast buddies, Jeff, when Christmas comes around, you know.
That's right. That's right. Sure. So we may put them on. Bandcamp's pretty easy to get stuff out on, SoundCloud. I don't know if we'll do Spotify or not, but we'll see. Something like that.
Well, if you put the stuff up anywhere, let us know and we can link to it and listeners can hear it. That'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Bandcamp, Jeff, you mentioned when you're doing the setup that you and a buddy that used to play put some stuff up on Bandcamp and you gave the name, but I missed the name. Can you tell us again what that name is?
Audio Spam 2.0.
Audio Spam
2.0.
2.0.
Yes, of course.
Big Audio Spam 2.0. Yeah, that's great. Oh, I see you guys. All right, cool. I just wanted to make sure that we got that in there. Who's ever editing this can cut that out if they like. I do want to tell people, it's Audio Spam 2.0. We can mention that again at the end of the show. This is great. This is a 35-song album, that's all. And the last song is, the last two songs are both over 20 minutes. So there's a lot of songs over
really
20 minutes.
It's really rocking stuff.
Man. Wow. I'm looking forward to getting into this. I like the cover a lot, too. All right. Back to the conversation.
What was travel like in general during these times?
Yeah. Well, so I think New Orleans was depressing. It was a little sad. I mean, New Orleans is supposed to be happy time, fun time, you know, and it was not that. It was, this is there's a weird mix in New Orleans, as with many large cities that are tourist cities, between panhandlers, police, and tourists. And if there's that right mix, then everything's fine. The world is in balance. But there were so few tourists. There were also fewer police, but there were just as many panhandlers. And so we never felt unsafe. Or it just got annoying after a while. And it's a little bit like we had a great morning at Cafe Du Monde, and there was a great jazz troupe there, probably 9 dudes, 6 of them playing at any one time, 3 of them on break, and they would just cycle in. You know, that was awesome. But that was a little bit of a bright moment. And, you know, just walking around town, it was not the, you know, it was they're going through a tough time, which is, you know, one reason we wanted to go there and give our $50 or whatever to the cause. We went out to eat. And then we got takeout. We stayed at a nice hotel. We had a great time in New Orleans, but it could have, you know, it was a little different. And then, but then when we got to Muscle Shoals, it's a sister city to Florence, Alabama, and it was happening and awesome. And I'd never been there. And it had a great little vibe downtown. We went on this rooftop bar. We met some guys that were there. A guy was doing a bit of a, I don't want to say, he was doing an album at one of the studios in Muscle Shoals, and he had brought his buddy out to try to convince him to do slide guitar work on it for free. So they were talking about that, and we kind of talked about our old deal. So, I mean, Florence was really happening and really cool. New Orleans was a little sad, but
it'll right. be fun. Amazing. Did you guys get to go to Fame Studios?
We did. We just barely made it there. We got the tour. It was cool. I mean, we rewatched the Muscle Shoals sound documentary before we went as well. So all about that. It was pretty cool. He's standing right where Aretha stood. And
what was the tour like? Here's Patrick Spaceman. It's, you know, 8x8. And well, here's Fame Studios. It's 10x10.
It had two studios. So there's two studios. One of them, Studio A. He had gone to Nashville and marked off in his head RCA Studio A in Nashville.
Nice.
And so it's a replica as close as you get with just remembering yardage from your feet.
Wow.
So, and then Studio B was decent size too. It was fun. Yeah. So it was great. Great little tour. That was probably an hour, probably.
Yeah. Which studio did the Stones record those famous tracks in on 69?
It's the name of the dress. I don't remember the name anymore.
Oh, that's right.
It was the other studio.
Yeah, it was 1441 or whatever. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we went by there. They were closed. That's not a functioning studio anymore. But
The
guy running Fame said, you know, there's 12 major studios in town, you know, that are kind of all from that vein of
amazing.
What's his name running that original place? And players start their own studio.
Rick Hall, right? Yeah.
Rick Hall. Good job, Patrick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a famous guy. And, man, you know, when Skinner puts you in a song, Muscle Shoals got the Swampers, you're gold for life.
That's the best advertisement
you could ever get. Yeah. And they put Neil Young down in the same song. So.
Yeah, same time.
But it's funny what you're saying, Patrick. I remember many, many years ago, I went to Memphis. Not the trip that we took.
Right.
But this was a long time ago. And I took a tour of Sun Studios.
Yep.
And it was literally like, here's one corner of the studio. And over there is another corner of the studio. And then this is the control room.
And right. And now step out so we can invite three more people in.
That's right.
Because it's so damn small.
But it was great. We loved it.
I've been to the Sun Studio. I think Fame's slightly larger, but very, very similar, humble, you know, origins.
Yep. Cinder block construction and all that.
Yep.
Have you ever been to Graceland, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Did you like it?
Yeah, Graceland's great.
Have you been there, Jim?
Yep,
yeah, I've been there. We had a great time. We bought the Walkman with Elvis's voice when he went through the rooms. It was cool.
The only thing is, you think of the scene in Spinal Tap. You know that scene in Spinal Tap where Graceland they're trying to harmonize.
Yes.
Can't do it.
You go low.
Too much perspective
is what it is. You know, I guess the question, Jeff, is did this trip and all you're talking about inspire you to write any songs? Like, you know, did you get a vibe to write a song about Clarksdale or Muscle Shoals or anything?
Really.
Or?
I mean, I was so focused. I was engineer, producer.
Yeah, true.
I saw a thing where Anthony Bourdain is one of my favorite
Jim's
shows.
Nodding in agreement. Yes, I understand.
So he and Eric Repair were talking about cooking, and he says, you know, at the end of the day, being a chef is about chopping onions. So it came to me, it's like being a musician is really about winding chords.
Yeah, you know, no doubt, man.
Unwind cords properly. You got to unwind them. That's all it is.
Totally true, man. Totally true. Yeah. And if it breaks, it's your ass when it breaks.
You got to run around.
That's the thing, man. When you're a musician, and I especially think about this, well, Patrick knows this better than I do, having been in a band that played, you know, quite a bit at one point. Most of your time is setting up and breaking down.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it really is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then somehow you have to be brilliant. Yeah, that's right. And then somehow you have to be brilliant for 30 minutes or whatever. you know, it's hard. Yeah. It's weird. Well, Jeff, man, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless. This is such a cool.
It's cool.
I mean, I think it's
here's
awesome.
My question. Is there a sequel? Like next year, you're going to do the same kind of thing?
Well, I don't know. It probably depends on the, you know, how everything goes over with distribution.
Right. That's true. Well,
my drummer actually is in D.C., so maybe I'll come up there.
There you go. Hell yeah, man. And you can buy us all the beer you want.
Yeah, that's sure, of course. And Jim, he went to Indiana. That's crazy.
That's right.
That's right.
Amazing.
You could come up here and play a Fugazi song, right?
Yeah, there you go. Right? Yeah. Probably be a good choice. Chuck Brown DC and Fugazi.
Talk. Chuck Brown. Yeah,
right. So, what was your girlfriend's takeaway of all this, Jeff? Did she have a good time? You know,
good question.
You know, loving all this and just being the singer. To me, it sounds amazing. Like you've got everything planned out, organized, and all she has to do is step up to the mic. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I think she's right here. You guys want to meet Diane? That would be great.
Love to.
Yes. Special surprise guest. It's a walk-on appearance. Yeah.
So the walk-on, she's eating dinner, so she'll may come over a second. But I think she enjoyed it, but I'll let her answer for herself. We had so Diane and I was always the music nerd in my realm.
Yep.
Right? Like, I knew all the producers, and I knew when the song was recorded and all that stuff. And then I meet Diane, and I'm trying to be cool and meeting her. I'm like thinking of some obscure song that's kind of cool. I'm like, you know that song. It's like Love and Rockets, No New Tale to Tell. And she's like, oh, yeah, I knew them when they were Bauhaus and we drank at a bar in Scotland. And I think they, you know, I gave them that line. Da, 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 da. We're still friends on Facebook. And I'm like, So Diane's way cooler
than
me.
That's great.
In all things music.
I
don't know how you're going
to
do it.
That's awesome.
I'm going to give you the
there
headphones.
She is. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hello.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
How's it going?
Very, very good. Thank you.
I don't think I've ever had AirPods in my ears, so this is pretty exciting.
Well, I'm sure Jeff's pretty clean, you know.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So we were just hearing all about this trip, and then Patrick asked a question of, you know, what did your girlfriend think of this, Jeff? And he said, well, you know, I don't want to speak for her, so then he invited you over, and but I see that he's still there, so you can't be totally honest. Right?
Oh, sure, I can. I tell him to his face all the time.
What was it like?
Oh, it was so much fun. It was really great to see our country this way. I love music. I mean, that's really how we met. I don't know if he told you this, but we actually met online. And the reason I even on Bumble, which is a revelation for heterosexual women, because no man can contact you. Only the woman has to make the first contact.
Oh, is that right?
So it's not like you're being bombarded. You get to pick. And so I looked
at this. It's like the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Kind of, yes. Which makes it a little less cool. So
without the overalls.
But, so he had on his musical taste, that he loves the Beastie Boys and Nico Case.
Wow.
And I, at the time, was living in Auburn, Alabama, and you don't get much of that blend
right
in that area. And so I was like, well, hey,
hell,
who are
I'd message him with that.
Yes, exactly. So that's how we met. So we've always had music as sort of a synergistic thing in our relationship. And it was wonderful during this really depressing time to sort of mask up and give our money to the economies that we thought needed it while we were doing something purposeful, like making something together. It was
so cool.
Really fun. It's not like beautiful art, but it was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a little for people who are on the road, you know, because that sort of unloading. I mean, we carried a bunch of crap in and out of every place we stayed. And finally, I was really glad when we decided to sort of do a marathon at the Shack Up Inn, because we just went for hours and we had beverages and air conditioning.
Ah, nice.
A piano. There was a piano there.
Wow.
So it was really good because, you know, we've all heard Crossroads, but when it's time to sing Crossroads, that's a pretty challenging thing. I think we just made up a whole different melody. So anyway,
that's great.
It was fun. I will say my only beef is that I know how to read music. Like, I played piano and flute, and I learned how to play guitar until bar chords, and then I was like, screw this. I don't want to use a capo. I suck. But anyway. I didn't have any music for the vocals, so I just had to listen. Like, I can read music, so I wanted to have something to read to be able to sing, because some of the songs I didn't know. I practiced.
We made
a playlist.
Right.
And I sang and sang, but that would be my only, like, I enjoyed almost every minute of it. The only thing I would want is my own sheet music, which our friend that we met on the rooftop in Florence was totally against music. I was like, screw a bunch of numbers. Give me the actual notes. And he was like, oh, no, you'll never make it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, I'll keep my day job.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jeff. Do you have room in that? Do you guys have room in that kit for a music stand? You could just put a music stand up and just put the music in front of you.
Oh, did he show you our little book?
Yeah.
He made a little book. He showed
oh,
it
no,
to
I
you.
Don't. Was that, in the, was that in the photos? I don't think I saw that, Jeff.
Nope.
You mean you made it like a memorandum?
Like on the way. I don't know. It's like every song in order is in here with the chords, of course.
Wow.
But, yeah. But not the actual lyrics. I mean,
that's
the lyrics
amazing.
Are here, but not the melody.
Oh, so, right. Oh,
super
I see.
Fun.
Yeah, totally
and
understand
it's
now.
It's a trip. I don't think you can see it, but it's a map of the trip.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's
so cool.
He's a badass, y'all.
Seriously.
I'm so glad that we met.
Aw. I don't understand what a smart guy, cool guy with great taste in music is doing supporting our show. That's what I don't understand.
He talks about you guys all the time.
Oh, well, he's obviously got some problems. Yeah.
We tuned in once to one of y'all's Hootenannies. Is it on Friday night?
Every Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't.
You should come on and play.
Yeah, Jeff. Come
oh,
on.
No.
You guys got to come on and play.
No. Jeff wants
oh, my God.
To be famous, but I do not.
You know what? Let me tell you this. Once you watch 10 minutes of the Hootenanny, you'll be ready to play because you'll be like, I'm better than these losers.
That's right. There's that. And it's also...
We did have those thoughts just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the most supportive group you'll ever encounter.
Yep.
That is very true.
Yep.
So.
No doubt about it. Just don't do it tomorrow because I'm not going to be there.
Oh, yeah. We want... No.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, next Friday.
Right.
Friday from... A week from Friday. Okay. You're on.
Yep.
So thank you. Well, y'all are awesome. And I've been enjoying listening to some of your podcasts.
Well, thank you.
I'm not exactly as affluent listener as Jeff is, but.
Well, it's tough.
Well, yeah, it's tough. It takes a village, really, to listen
to
our show. But
that's
right. So, I mean, you guys really got to, come on and sing and play. We would love to have you as part of the community. It's so nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks
you
for
too.
Coming on.
Thank you. I'm going to end my first EarPod experience of my life.
Okay.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better platform. Wow, she's lovely, Jeff. What
awesome.
What a beautiful person. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You're very lucky.
Sure, yeah. It's great.
That was delightful.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
Well, that was great. What a great story.
Wow,
what a adventure.
Cool idea. I think this is going to inspire other people to do something similar, Jam, without a doubt. Yeah.
DM me if you want tips on getting that flight case together.
Well, absolutely.
I'll tell you whatever you need.
If you're okay with it, Jeff, we'll share these pictures on the episode article so people can also see them if you don't mind. And I think people will get fired up. I mean, the look of that case is so cool. It's like an old school toolbox, right, that the old school carpenters used to carry. So nice. Wow.
Very cool. Wonderful. Okay. So thanks for sharing the story. Thanks for being a supporter of the show. Thanks for listening. All that stuff, Jeff. You just...
wonderful.
You're a good man.
So, cool. Yes. Thank you, guys.
All right. And if anyone else would like to, contact us and tell us about a great musical road trip you've had, maybe something like that.
Make us jealous. Call.
Yeah. Yeah. Call, leave a message,
612-440-1984.
There you go. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. All right. And we'll talk to you again soon, Jeff. Yeah. I'm sure.
Jeff's record will be out on Suburbs Pod Records, record label here in a few weeks as a bootleg. So, you know,
that's right.
I mean, as an official release.
Very cool. So,
hey guys, have a great week.
All right.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care, brother.
Jeff Niebuhr, everyone. Yep. And it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
At the Lord above, I'm mercy. Say, poor Bob, if you please. Stand at the crossroads. I trust the flag arise. Ain't nobody seem to know me. Everybody pass me by. The song's going down, boy. Song gonna catch me here.
You cut everything out, Sal, and just put Diane on. That's really, that's the goal right there.